dancing in the sand, buckling in the mud, dripping cowboy sweat, bleeding cowboy's blood.
I'm Tie Down Roper Tyson Durfee, and you are watching The Pepper Stewart Show.
Oh, man, I don't know about that, but that is exactly what he just told you. So that's what's going on. You're here. You're looking at me. We've got some folks here today. We'll flip that around directly and let you know who's here today in studio. But we got stuff for you guys today. We got a lot of stuff, as we always do. We got some things going on. We got some community events coming up that we want to tell you about. It's a pretty good deal. We got some news. We always got news. Everybody wants news, so we got that. We got that for you. We got a lot of stuff going on. Looking fancy in my rodeo clothing company shirts. And we'll tell you something else about those shirts, too. You, too, can have one of these for free. Yes, for free. Somebody's volume's up over there. I don't know who that was. I don't know who that would be. But, yes, you have tuned in again to the Pepper Stewart Show. Why you have, we don't know. Why you watch, I don't know. I hadn't figured that out. I don't know if we need to do a study on why people do. I haven't figured that one out. But as we do from time to time, we dive into a few things we probably shouldn't dive into. But we just like to test the surface. That's it. We just test the surface on stuff. So that's what's going on with that. So we just want to see kind of what's going on in the world, because stuff's always happening in the world. Everything's happening, stuff goes on, people do stuff, and I don't know, we try to stay off topic, political stuff, we avoid that because there's plenty of other places to go find your political stuff. But there are times we do run across things that are topical and interesting, just to I don't know, not necessarily to discuss them, but, there's things out there that's just like, what are you thinking? What are you even doing? And so we try to dive into those from time to time.
Now, don't say that.
But I got to. All right, we're going to jump on this one first, because I've dealt with this in the past a time or two. I know that Rodeo Houston, they have rodeo protesters all the time at different events, and it just so happened that here recently in Houston, it got more popular than other places, because they do it all over, but apparently it got more popular than other places because everybody was putting it out there. And you had these people down there protesting the rodeo, and they had their signs up and everything and their rhetoric. But here's the deal with that. I kept seeing everybody sharing them. Everybody was sharing these videos on Facebook. And I'm thinking, why are you sharing these videos? Because every time you share a video, you're giving them credibility of what they're saying. And 90% of the time, it's false information that they're giving. And if you've seen the videos I'm talking about, you know what I mean. And the more I watched one of them for about 5 minutes or so, just to see what was going on, because I like to check the temperature, what's going on. And it was just horrible, the information they're put out there. So I tried to explain to people, for one, don't share it. Don't share it on your social media and your media, because all you're doing is building up, their credibility and making them feel that they're validated, from the information you're putting out. And another thing is, don't go on there and comment a bunch of rude, hateful stuff. Because everybody's doing that. They're putting their rude comments, hateful comments, and everything on there. And I'm like, why are you even doing that? Don't do that. Because when you do, you come down to their level and just make an argument. And that's not going to help anybody, because these people are misinformed. And you need to educate them. Educate these people what's going on. Because when they throw the false information out, you need to educate them on, what's wrong information they're putting out. So just help them out with that. And invite them to rodeo, because what I found out, I dealt with this a couple years ago, through the show and through some other things with some of these anti-rodeo and anti-agriculture groups. And what I find out a lot of times is they're not familiar with any of it. all they've seen is what's on the internet. And there was a study out there that about 86% of these anti-rodeo people have never been to a rodeo. They just read stuff on the internet. And you know how stuff works on the internet, you know, just like movies. How do movies work? You ever watched a movie before? Do you believe everything you see on a movie? No. Well, it's the same thing. These documentaries they make up, you can film what you want to film and make what you want to make to fit whatever agenda you're trying to accomplish. Just like these movies. You go watch these movies. You know, you go to the theater, watch a movie. Same deal. They put in front of you what they want you to see with the storyline they want you to follow. And you follow the storyline, you watch the movie, and that's what happened. Same thing with these documentaries. You know, they call it a documentary, but it's not really. It's just, you know, the propaganda that they push to other people that don't know. And if you got people that's never been to a rodeo or know what's going on with livestock, they don't have anything to judge off of. They have no basis of what's true, what's false. All they've got is what they see. Never been there. So just invite them to the rodeo. Just say, hey, you know, I understand you don't like the rodeo. And a lot of times if you ask them if they've ever been, they're going to tell you, no, they've never been there. So tell them, hey, you know, come to the rodeo. Well, I got you a ticket. I get you a ticket. Come out. See for yourself. And what I've told them in the past, I was like, hey, you know what? Come out to the rodeo. Come watch it and see for yourself what actually takes place, so that when you're talking to your people, you're more informed of what's going on, so you can, you know, you can throw your storyline in there to what you actually saw. And it's a lot better from what you're saying than what you know, the hearsay and that fact of it. So they got to do the research. I mean, I guess it was even last year, when I went to Sam Houston, I was talking to kids down there, and they're so uneducated about what happens at a rodeo. And we spent half the time explaining what happens and watching videos on the big screen, what happens. What else they got going on? I don't know what else. We had some more stuff we're going to talk about, but I don't think we're going to get to it because it's just, I don't know. It seems like every episode we're in here talking about guns or somebody got shot or somebody got killed and the same thing. And you got kids that walked out of school because they want to ban guns. You know, they want to ban them. We want to ban it. Ban guns. Everybody's dying. Ban a gun. Well, you know, my kid, he walked out of school too. He'd been out of school for almost a week. Spring break. It's spring break, but you know, he's on spring break. But other than that, he walked out. He'd been back all week. You know, he's celebrating with these people here. I'm not going to school either. I've been off all week. Yeah, on spring break. But what they don't tell you is that more kids are killed by texting and driving. But here's the problem. That cell phone, these cell phones right here, tell a kid he can't use a cell phone. He can't have a cell phone. See what happens. You're going to have a real fit on your hands then. And, you know, they're addicted to the phone, and the phones they got in their hand they have all the time. Well, if you can't ban phones, because then what are the kids going to do? How are they going to be entertained? How are they going to talk to their friends? You know, these kids a couple weeks ago were eating soap. They were eating soap. We had to go, somebody up in legislation and the government was trying to push to the manufacturer of the soap companies to put on the labels to tell kids not to eat it. And now they're going to tell you, you know, they're expert government people now. They know all about everything. So
when I was a kid, it was a punishment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Right. When you were a kid, you
said a cuss word.
Eat soap. Yeah.
Eat soap. Yeah. So, and Dial did not taste good.
Right. And okay, so they want to outlaw. We want to outlaw and ban all the guns. Okay. Well, if you remember back, of course, most of these kids that are crying today weren't even born yet. But who remembers Reagan? You know, Ronald Reagan, he launched a war on illegal drugs. War on drugs. We're going to get rid of illegal drugs. How'd that work out?
They're still everywhere.
How'd that work out for
you? You can find them in most middle schools and high schools.
Well, yeah. So how'd that work out for you? You ban on drugs, ban on guns. Okay, how's that working out? And that's the deal. And I'm not going to get on a gun rant here or anything like that, but it's just you got to – picking and choosing what you want to run with is not going to help anything. You know, in most of the recent shootings they had in schools, the government dropped the ball on it. You had the one guy that he had a bunch of – you know, he had some stuff happened to him, domestic violence, whatever stuff where you're not supposed to buy a gun, but the Air Force didn't report it and put it on his file, so he got away with it. You had the other kid that was saying he was going to do this, been telling people he was going to do it, and they were telling the FBI, hey, check this kid out. He's going to do something. They didn't do anything. So it goes both ways. And then when, I won't say a few years, but it's probably back in the 90s, in Oklahoma City, they blew up a building. I didn't hear everybody crying for a ban on fertilizer. Nobody put out a ban for fertilizer when they blew that building up. It was all about the guy that blew up the building. It wasn't about the fertilizer. So it's a pick and choose. And most of these kids, you know, a lot of these kids, especially in the city environments, they've never seen guns in real life before. All they know about guns is what they play on the video games. That's all they know about a gun. They never held one. They never shot one. They know anything about it other than what they see or what their parents tell them. So.
Hell, that controller, that video game controller,
kind of
feel like a gun, right?
Yeah, that's
why
they
make it look like guns. But like on the gun violent issue, leave it to the experts and leave it to the people to have a logical discussion. I mean, and figure out there's other issues. I firmly believe that 98% of these people that commit these horrible acts, whether it's domestic terrorism, blowing up a building, or going in and shooting somebody, whether it's a school, a church, or wherever it happens, those people have mental issues.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we need to delve into, is get away from focusing on so much banning guns, but focus more into helping and finding the cause of, you know, why these people actually did it.
Right, because, you know, guns have been around for a long time. There's been guns you know, forever, and it's just recently popped up and gotten, you know, and the media doesn't help the fact, but it's all kind of, you know, a recent deal. So, you know, what's happened over the last, you know, 20 years or so, where it's becoming a big issue. So got to do something. But other than that, look at there, Richard's here. He's right there. Look at him. There's Tex. Tex is styling, profiling his Rodeo Clothing Company shirt right there.
Yeah, I finally wore it, you know.
Finally, about time. He's finally styling and profiling. He got his
and a hat.
Master Hatters of Texas hat right there. He's got his Rodeo Clothing Company shirt on. He's ready to rock and roll today.
I'm a family man now. I got a family part, right?
He's a family man. Yeah. Look out.
So who's the lucky guy?
No, it's not a guy this time.
Right.
This time.
that was my pad, you know.
It's 20. Look, here's the deal. It's 2018. You can do what you want. You can do,
right.
You know, it's 2018. Come on, guys.
I'm too old fashioned, you know.
You can go whatever bathroom you want to. You can do, you know, you can do what you want to do.
Well, if you live in the country, you just go to any tree you want to.
That's right.
Nobody can tell me how to live my life.
Yeah. You know what? We've been talking a bunch of nonsense here lately. So what are we going to do? We need to talk about stuff. We need to get a hold of, we need to talk to Hannah. Let's do that. Let's talk to Hannah Kaufman, talk about some barrel racing, some fitness. You know, she's got her fitness deal. She does clinics. So let's see what she's got going on. We done wasted enough time already. Let's talk to her and see what is going on way up yonder. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about stuff. We're going to find out what is going on in the world of the cowgirls. And the only way to find out what is going on is to talk to one. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to jump on here right now with Miss Hannah Kaufman. Hello.
Hello.
What is going on in your part of the country?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's absolutely beautiful today. We're mid-70s and the sun's shining, so I'm really excited about that.
All right. So you are in the northern countryside?
I am in central Missouri, right in the middle of the state.
Okay. Right in the middle. All right, so let's tell folks about you. Let's get a little backstory, then we'll jump into some good stuff. So tell us about your upbringing and your introduction into the rodeo world.
Well, I actually grew up on a big ranch in Canada. I have dual citizenship. So I grew up, I missed kindergarten because I helped calve out heifers. So I have a huge ranching background, and my parents did a horsemanship colt starting clinic. So I got to travel around Western Canada and help them with that. So I have been training and helping put on clinics since I was about 14. So very, very much involved with that from a young age. I do have dual citizenship, so I graduated high school and moved to Montana and went to college in Powell, Wyoming, and just kept working my way south. And how I ended up in Missouri, I still don't know. But here I am. So, no, I really like it. It's a different state, not quite what I expected to be in. Actually, I rode cutting horses here for a little while. Loved that. Loved that. And I met this crazy lady in Missouri named Stacy Fick, who is about a 6 foot tall, blonde haired rodeo girl, and kind of started getting running with her, and she got me hooked on barrel horses, and I switched gears and moved into the barrel horse and rodeo world. So, absolutely love it.
And it's exciting. What's your course? I mean, the barrel racing's got to be exciting, but I'm sure the cutting, you know, the cutting's exciting too.
Oh. Yeah, I always say a good barrel horse is like a cutting horse on speed. One that will really work and, you know, hustle for you. It's a really cool feeling. Definitely an adrenaline rush both ways. I do miss cutting horses. I play around with them here and there. I ride a lot of cowbred horses. I'm very comfortable on them. That's what I grew up with. That's what I'm familiar with. I ride running bred horses also, but I've got a soft spot for those cow horses. Definitely.
All right. What about any roping? You doing a little roping?
I'm a wannabe roper. I actually have won a one check team roping, and I have done some buckles breakaway roping, but I tore my shoulder up really bad, and so my roping days to be really competitive are no longer. It's kind of fun to go play around with it now and then, but I just don't get that serious with it anymore. So I'm a wannabe roper.
There you go. Well, that works too. And that's like me. I've been trying to get in the roping pen for I don't know how long. And I don't do it. I mean, I go and rope bulls at rodeos here or there, but that's because they're standing still and they're easy to rope. So, I mean, they're like,
well, I know, roping's frustrating to me because I have to work at it to be good.
Yeah.
I don't have enough horses. I'm like, wait, run one more.
Yeah. Right. And that's what I tell them, you know, if we go catch a wild cow, I'll say, you know, let that cow run for about 30 minutes, it'll get tired, and I'll ride up there and catch it for you.
Right, exactly, right? You got to wear them down a little bit.
That's it.
Yeah.
So as far as your barrel racing, you have clinics and things that you do?
Uh-huh, yeah. I actually started fixing rodeo horses is how I got involved with it. Since I do have such a big background with horsemanship and training and whatnot, I actually started fixing blown-up barrel horses is how I got into the industry. And rodeoed for a while, and then I got introduced to the fraternity world, which is young horses that you train and they compete at a young age, and I have completely fallen in love with that industry. So that's my main goal, my priority. I do tune-up jobs, leg up horses, fix a little bit of stuff, but I really, really like to bring a young horse on almost all the way through and somewhat finish them, if not completely finish them out, and then they go on to either another owner or back to their owners.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing with that.
And your clinics, about how many clinics do you do a year?
Probably about 6 to 10. Last year I didn't do as many. I was on the road so much, but this year I've already got 6 books this spring and a couple fall, and I already have some booked into the spring of 2019, so quite a few. I try and schedule them kind of around when the big fraternities are, so I'm either doing a clinic or I'm competing at a fraternity.
Okay.
So.
Oh. All right. I love doing
the clinics, though. I've been really blessed and fortunate to ride with some of the best trainers in the industry. And so I love being able to help other people and pass that knowledge on. So I get really passionate about with my clinics. And I always see in the barrel racing industry, you know, barrel racers have somewhat of a reputation, you know, we're crazy and our crazy hot horses. But I really feel that a lot of that is just because people don't know and they don't have the knowledge. And so I think where knowledge ends is where frustration begins.
Right.
And so I really love to be able to teach people how to problem solve, how to do drills to keep their horse sharp, how to train, how to keep solid, how to take time off. It's just really rewarding to see those people go on and be successful and succeed and, you know, build a relationship with their horse.
And with your clinics, because we talked to a lot of different people about clinics and people that are looking to go to clinics. And with your clinics, what I've heard from other people, you know, when they want to go to a clinic is a lot of people that are beginning or just starting out are kind of afraid to go to clinics. But I try to, you know, I tell them just, you know, if you want to learn and you want to go, just go, because at most of these clinics, you know, you'll have people from very beginners to, you know, an experienced person looking to tune up. So is that kind of what you see?
Yeah, absolutely. My clinics, I will have somebody that's never even been around a barrel pattern before. Young girls, now don't get me wrong, though, some of those young girls will kick your butt. They can be tough. But young girls or people that have never done it before are just getting into it, all the way up to people that are looking to get their horse sharp and take off a tenth here or a tenth there. And, you know, I tell people all the time, go to as many clinics as you can. Go to as many trainers as you can. I don't care if it's barrel racing, horsemanship, cutting, reining. Learn from everybody, because what happens is it's like you have a toolbox, and every clinic you go to, you're going to get more tools.
Right.
And the more tools you have in your toolbox, the more you can build. So, you know, you might have a favorite tool that you use a lot, but once in a while it's like, man, I'm really glad I went to that one person that I've got this horse, I've got this problem, and it really helps in this situation. So that's the one thing about clinicians and clinics. You can learn something from everybody. I get a lot of people that want to build confidence. Is actually a huge thing that I get. When I start my clinics off, I always start off with, what's your goals? What are your goals for the clinic, and what are your long-term goals? Because I think it's really important for people to have somewhere to get to, something to accomplish. If you're just kind of there to be there, then I don't think you're going to be as perceptive to what somebody's going to say. But if you have a goal in mind, then you have something to work towards. And the cool thing about goals is the more goals you achieve, the more goals you have. So, you know, once you check something off, then all of a sudden it opens up this world to a whole other, you know, a whole bunch more possibilities, and now you're able to do more. And then you check those off, and then that opens it up to even more possibilities. So I'm just really good. I'm really big about goals. And a lot of people come, and their goal is to get more confident and to get consistent. And so that's just, you know, at any level that can apply. So that's something that, you know, beginners or somebody really seasoned, somebody young, somebody older, everybody can benefit from that.
Right. Okay. And then, you know, and as far as that rodeo aspect of it goes, we've got our other, I guess, partnership we've got here with Bucking Fitness. And here we're talking to Hannah Kaufman. And so let's dive into Cowgirl Fitness. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is one of those things that you don't have wrote down on your goal list, but as you check things off, opportunities present themselves. This is Cowgirl Fitness. I got into the fraternity world, and I am competing with the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. I mean, there's people I look up to, you know, Ashley Schaefer, Jolene Montgomery, Pete Owen, Troy Crumrine. I mean, they're unbelievable trainers and athletes. And if you watch these people at the top, there's certain things that they have in common. And they're athletic, and their timing is good, and they can read a horse. And so I decided I needed to be in better shape if I'm going to be at that level and work towards that and make that a goal. So I started working out a little bit. And then my sister, who was, I want to say she was 2-something, I could be wrong on that. Anyways, she decided one day she was going to make a change. And she's like, I'm the only person that can make that change, and it's going to happen. She's like, I'm tired of being overweight. I'm tired of not being able to do stuff. And so she actually lost half her body weight and ended up doing a fitness show. And I was really, really proud of her. And meanwhile, I'm kind of trying to get back in shape myself. And so I told her, hey, if you stick with this, I'll do a show with you. So then that made me get a little bit more dedicated and dive in. And what I learned was that we as barrel racers or competitors, a lot of times, and I'm going to say barrel racers because cowgirls, we put ourselves on the back burners. And the amount of money we spend on our horses with chiropractic and supplements and, you know, special saddle pads and bit collections or whatnot, you know, we spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on our horses, Magna Wave therapy, all this stuff. And I mean, if you've ever tried to feed for a barrel racer, they have to have this supplement at this time with it. You know, we put so much time and investment into these horses, and then we let ourselves get cast to the side.
Right.
I personally was what I would call a binge eater, because I'd maybe eat something in the morning, and then I'd ride 12, 15 head of horses all day. And then at night, I was starving, and I would just eat food because I'd gone all day and not taken care of myself. So things like that. And then the more I got into it, you know, you go back to talking about clinics, and people are afraid to go to clinics. Well, people are afraid to ask for help. And that's when I realized that, you know, I need a trainer. I need a health coach. I need, if I'm going to get serious about this, like I am with my horses, if I had a problem with my horse, I would go to another clinician or another trainer and ask for input or advice. So then that was the next step that I did, is I got a trainer. And yeah, wow. Talk about open up a whole new world. And again, like I say, I think, you know, where knowledge and education end is where frustration begins. You know, I'd gotten frustrated and I didn't know what to do or where to go. And when I got a trainer and a health coach, it just completely opened up a whole new world. And as I started to have changes in my energy and how I looked and how I felt, other people were noticing the changes and started asking questions. And so now we're into a snowball effect. And that's why I decided to kind of get into Cowgirl Fitness, because I think a lot of people want to be healthy and they want to be in shape, but they don't necessarily know how to go about doing that. You know, there's diets out there and there's stuff and people talk about it, but to actually put pen to paper and get a goal and get a plan and make it happen, I think is where people kind of lack, and just the whole, you know, they're kind of scared to ask for help.
Right. So, and for every, you know, for every person, there's not, you know, you can't have one plan that's going to help everybody.
Exactly.
Each person is got, you know, a different issue or a different, you know, they're going to have to work differently than the next person. So it's not like you just go, hey, go do this, it's going to work. You know, it depends on the person.
Exactly.
And you got to figure out what they need to get to where they want to go.
Each person's different, kind of like each horse is different. You know, they all have different needs. They're all on different levels. They all might respond differently to different stuff. So, You're 100% right about that. So I've created a group, Cowgirl Fitness. I have a page, but I have a group for, too, just for women that ride and are in the industry that can ask questions and try and get some help and see what works for other people too. So I'm really excited about it. It's been an amazing journey so far. I'm excited to see where it's going to go. And I just love the passion that people have about it. You know, once they kind of get a taste of it and an understanding, and they learn, like, I can do this. Like, I have help, and I can try some things. I can do this. I can set goals. And it's absolutely amazing to see people's transformations. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's out there, and they can find it on the Facebook and go to it. And like I say, for the women, for the Cowgirl Fitness, they can get in there and talk with other women, you know, because like you said, you know, some things work for some don't for others, and everybody can just kind of talk about it and go from there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people that don't know how to get started, it's a good place to get started. Kind of like, you know, with horses and the clinics, it's just a good place to get started. And if you can pick up one or two things that work, then you're being successful right there. So I'm really excited to see where it's going. We did one horse and fitness clinic together combined. It was a lot of fun. I brought my trainer and my health coach, and then I did the horses part. Angie did the health coach part, eating, and Nick did the training part physically. And it was a lot of fun, and it absolutely amazed me, the questions that people had, and, you know, just the want to learn and to improve themselves and to get better. So it was really good. It was fun.
And that's what it's all about, you know, getting out there for the people, helping the people and continuing, you know, what you learn, you pass on to others and help the others out. And that's kind of what it's all about.
Absolutely. You've had a somewhat of a journey like that yourself too, haven't you?
I did. I did that. That's what happened to me. You know, it took a while to realize it, but it, you know, it had to happen.
It had to happen. Yep. It had to happen. And I think that's kind of when you get to that point where it has to happen and then you have somewhere to go to help make it happen. That's the cool part about it. So I'm actually doing my first fitness show the end of this month. So I'm not as ready as I would like to be, but when you have livestock and horses and traveling, it makes things a little bit more challenging. And so I have a saying, excuses only satisfy those who make them. So no excuses. I've had to adapt and adjust and make it work.
That's it. That's why I tell people all the time that if it's something that you want to do or something you're wanting to do, you're going to do it. You're going to find a way to do it. If not, you're going to find an excuse.
Exactly. And one of the other big things, too, that I've learned with horses and with fitness, which is carried on both, is that you have to trust the process. And, you know, one ride or tune-up job on a colt is not going to make them run in the 1D. You know, eating one salad is not going to make you skinny. One bad run is not going to ruin a horse's career, whereas in eating one cheeseburger isn't going to make you fat. It's the everyday choices that you make that make the difference with both horses and fitness. So there's a lot of overlap there and a lot of discipline that can go into both categories, which I think is why I've really delved into this and had a lot of success with it when I did it, because I understand, you know, you have to make that commitment and you have to, your choices every day are what makes the difference in the long run. So
that's the truth. That's the truth of it. And I guess we'll leave it with that. And we'll send them your way. We'll send them to Cowgirl Fitness. We'll send them to Hannah Kaufman on the interweb net. You're out there. They can look you up, see where you are. And
sounds great. I welcome anybody and everybody that wants to learn about horses or fitness. I think, you know, the more we can support each other, then the better off everybody is. So absolutely.
That's it. All right. We appreciate you visiting with us and spending some time out of your day. We'll let you get back to checking on the horses and doing what you do up there. And we'll catch you down the road.
Sounds great. You have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. That right there is what it's all about. You awake now?
Yeah.
Always.
I'm getting chatted about fitting over here.
Well, yeah, by the way that shirt fits you.
You might need some.
You're going to need some fitness.
Yeah.
But she's right. That's what it's all about. And she's, you know, she's working on some stuff now. She's got some things going on that it's pretty interesting. So it's always something to look into. What are you doing all that? You pregnant?
I don't know. He's watching a stump breaking video and just started rubbing himself. I'm a little nervous over here.
Wow. So we got stuff to talk about, don't we?
One or two things.
We got a lot of loose horse to talk about.
All right. Before you get on a loose horse, let me talk about something. I got something here I need to talk about. You know, we get a lot of different information from a lot of different places about events, and you know, we try to go to what we can go to and help out with what we can go to. And there's a local event going on out in Hunt County. It's taking place out in Leonard, Texas, by the way.
Hey, that's my hometown.
He lives there. But this right here, they're having a trail ride. April 21st. There's the flyer there. You can also find the flyer on Facebook at Pepper Stewart Show. They're going to ride out about 9 o'clock. They're going to have a barbecue lunch about 1:30. And they're going to have an auction at 2 o'clock. Now, this trail ride's on a donation basis, and the barbecue lunch is a donation, minimum donation, $10 barbecue lunch, which that's a steal. If you've ever went and ate barbecue anywhere, $10 for a barbecue plate, you can't beat that. But they're gonna have an auction at 2 o'clock. They've got a rifle, you know, some rifles, some welded stuff, some tack. They're gonna have some gift cards, some haircuts. I know Tex needs one of those. There's some other stuff gonna be made. You know, so they got some handmade stuff, some other stuff. I think they're gonna possibly have a band or a DJ for that night. So it's gonna be like an all day deal, and it's just going to benefit a local guy out there. You know, a local guy, Eric Westbrook. You know, battling battling cancer, and you know, they're looking to help him out any way they can, because you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, every little bit helps, because you know you never know how it's going to go or what's going to happen. So you know, all the horse people like to go riding, trail riding. There's a lot of trail riding groups out there on Facebook and things like that that like to go trail riding. So why not haul over to Leonard, go trail ride, eat some barbecue, and then you may buy something. I mean, what else are you going to do on Saturday?
And help out a good call.
Well, yeah, and you're helping folks out. So I think it's a good idea.
And you get to meet this guy right here.
I don't know. You're going to scare
people there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to get people to go to this.
I'll be there with Inspector Chumwin.
You're going to be there with your wife?
Chumwin. Can never get Ellen.
So someone will be there with you. Okay. Well, you know, that's
significant other.
Your significant other. Okay. All right. Well,
you just don't like labels.
Yeah, no.
It's 2018. You can't have labels. You can't have labels anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's on the bathroom door, apparently.
Even then, don't really apply.
Well, not really. If you got to go. I've went in the women's restroom before. It's not that big a deal. There wasn't nobody in it, but I mean,
I do it often.
We know. I saw the report. But I mean, if you got to go, you got to go.
Mm.
But
that's right.
I was going. What was I going to talk? I was going to talk about some cow stuff, because we are way behind. Apparently, someone called us right before the show. Who is watching the live feed right now? They called. What was I going to talk about? One of these. I guess I'll talk about this one. What does it say on the sheet? We have sheets, by the way.
Well, the next one line is
ELD.
Lawman. ELD.
ELD. You get a test for that? You got a significant other now. You need to get a test for ELD, apparently.
I probably need to take a test.
Here's what's going on. It's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. They announced on March 14th additional steps to address the unique need for the country's agriculture industry, provide further guidance to assist in the effective implementation of the congressionally mandated electronic logbooks, which everyone thinks now is the devil. So they're trying to get that worked out, because, you know, when you're hauling Gatorade down the highway, it's a lot different hauling cows down the highway. You can't just go stop on the side of the highway in July when it's 115 degrees and rest for 2 or 3 hours or whatever you got to do before you can go again, because you're going to kill them. So they're trying to work this out, because you got commodities and goods, and then you got livestock, you know, live animals. You can't haul live animals like you haul a load of Gatorade or a load of bottled water. So they're trying to merge the two to where it'll work. So they've extended another 90-day waiver for ag carriers on that electronic logging device. Let's see what else they got. During this time period, they're going to publish a final guidance on both agriculture 150 air mile hours of service exemption and personal conveyance. For those who don't know what that means, 150 mile air radius, as long as you're not hauling cattle within 150 miles of your home, you don't need a daily log. And then if you do haul within 150 miles, you can only haul within 150 miles. I think it's after every eighth day or something like that. There's a way to get around it to where you don't have to have the ELD book. But the deal is, if you're an actual transport company, that's all you do for a living is transport livestock all around the country, then quit complaining and just fill out your logbook and go haul your cows, because it's not going to do you any good. What else we got on the list? This one here, Texas Southwestern Cattle Rearing Association law enforcement man Larry Gray is going to retire in May. Larry Gray in May. Look at that. He is the chief law enforcement officer. His retirement is set for May 31st. He's had more than 37 years of service at the Texas Southwestern Cattle Rearing Association, where he's currently the executive director of law enforcement and theft prevention services, which he's been for the last 23 years. The Texas Southwestern Cattle Rearing Association has 30 special rangers, which are led by Gray, stationed throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Of course, these elite group of law enforcement officers are mentioned often right here on the show each and every week as they are tracking down and catching these outlaws. So that is what's going on. What else you got? You got something over there?
Well, we've got Horse Loose in Maryland.
All right, what happened to it?
We ready to talk about loose horses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, horse. What happened here?
Oh, you get lost?
Okay. Police in Maryland said they were surprised. By the way, here's a picture of this. But the police were surprised and a little confused to find a loose horse wandering in the road.
Uh-huh.
Officers were called to Old Camp Route 40 early Thursday on a report on a loose horse. And it was wandering all along in traffic. It was by itself. It was all along.
You used to be that way.
They were waiting with the department posted photos of officers waiting for their sweet little girl after jumping Frederick County Animal Control to the chain.
What's going on over there?
Police are asking for public help to find the owner of the apparently escaped animal. And that's part two of this story. Then we're going to read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says.
All right, what did Paul Harvey say?
Sometime, which is a strange thing in profession, this sweet little girl, which is a horse, was found walking along Old Camp about 40 in the morning. She great job by the officer, but keeping her safe. And animal control, got a safe there, you can pick her up there if you need them. If you're missing this sweet little girl animal, you can contact animal control.
All right.
They'll pick you up.
Yeah?
I guess it's a male, that's why.
that's why?
Yeah, come on, Jim, sweet little gal.
It's been a rough week up north. You got an escaped bull that leads police on a chase in New York State.
What?
That's what it says here. A tense situation.
Were you born in New York? Well, so were we. We're Karuba Collision, a trusted...
captured by police with the help of the animal's owner. Jim Young, police... said the bull escaped Monday morning and ran loose through the area before its flight was halted by officers working with the owner. Police said the officers are familiar with the bull, which has escaped from its enclosure before. No injuries were reported from the bull's time on the loose. The capture went far quicker and more smoothly than similar situations that unfolded last month in Las Vegas. Where an 800-1200 bull led police on a four-hour chase through residential neighborhoods in the early morning before being corralled by an off-duty officer with livestock experience.
Yeah, apparently livestock experience is key in this deal.
These wild bulls, man.
But if you look at this video, that's a Jersey. That's a Jersey bull right there.
So well, he was in New York. Maybe he's trying to go home.
I guess he's headed to Jersey, apparently. I guess that's where he's going. Headed back to Jersey. Of course, apparently, you got to be careful when you talk to people from up north where they're from. Because some guy, telemarketer, whatever, trying to sell me something the other day, and he had an accent. And so I just asked him, I said, wait, well, he wants to sell me stock. He wants to sell me stock. So I said, well, are you talking about paper stock or livestock? He's like, no, I guess paper stock. I was like, oh, okay, what do you got? And he kept talking. I was like, man, it sounds weird. So I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, stop for a second. Are you in Boston? And he says, no, New York. And he hung up. What? Okay. Maybe I wanted to buy some paper stock, but he hung up on me. Apparently he was offended that I said he was in Boston.
Hey, it happens.
Boston.
So is there an issue with Boston?
I guess so.
I think they have a divide.
I guess.
And then there's a horse that was dancing in the club.
Yeah, I can't play that video, by the way.
Oh, man.
Because
I heard it was doing the Macarena.
Well, the reason I can't play the video is because of the club it was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a woman attempting to ride this horse in the club. And I was looking at the comments and things from the story where everybody's all upset, but thinking that they were trying to kill this horse. Because what happened was the horse fell down. But the reason the horse fell down is because inside of a club.
Yeah.
They were trying to turn the horse around real sharp, and the horse trying to move and just fell down.
Well, you know, it's not like, you know, you can just ride it into any bar like you can in you know, down in Fort Worth there at the Stockyards. Like happened the stock show one year when a couple of socialites stole a police horses and rode them into Cadillacs.
So what happened with this horse in the nightclub? What'd they do?
You don't want to...
Ah, here it is. Well, according to the police in Florida, who are investigating after a video recorded inside a nightclub captured a panic horse bucking its rider inside the crowded business. It was just trying to do the Macarena, folks.
That's it.
I mean, you know, you play it, they do it. A video shared on Facebook and Instagram by Lisa Marie Joulet shows a female go-go dancer in black lingerie riding a white horse through the crowd inside the Mocha Lounge in South Beach when the panicked equine bucks her off. Well, you can't ride a horse bareback.
And the horse didn't buck her off. The horse just fell down.
Fell out.
Yeah, I was like, I saw the video. Now you see why I can't play the video.
See, that's why when you go to those go-go clubs, always tip the dancers.
What?
See, if you'd have tipped better, the horse would have stayed on its feet. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Riding a white horse, that's kind of chompophetic.
Right?
I think I read a story about that.
The video shows a man struggling to control the horse as the crowd parts to give it space. The animal appears to be uninjured and seems to calm down after a few seconds.
Yeah, the horse is just like, what's going on here? Well, why am I in here? I don't understand what's going on.
And people are shaming on the Mokey Lounge for ever allowing this to happen. I've reached out to local law enforcement, and I'm hoping to hear back. Joulet wrote, this is inhumane and deserves serious attention ASAP. Well, one, you should know better than ride a horse into a bar with a dance floor and slick
hair. Apparently, they've never been to Tijuana to the donkey show. I don't know.
No, they probably haven't. That's, you know, Boys Town's famous for it. It's a lot crueler what they do to that donkey.
What else you got going on? What happened now? What else you got?
Well,
we got another loose horse.
Horses on the loose right now. Bulls and horses are running rampant.
They're running amok.
All up north on the Connecticut road.
They're trying to get to Houston, the stock show.
I guess so.
They're taking a late night run down Connecticut road. The loose horse. It was captured by animal rescuer and received a police escort. They had walked the mile to the local stable. The Donham Animal Response Team shared in a Facebook post that Connecticut State Police contacted the group at 3 a.m. Wednesday to request help with a horse spotted taking a solo stroll in the road. Fortunately, when we arrived at the scene, the horse was calm and manageable.
Oh, yeah, the horse ready to go home. Right?
The team was able to get a hold of the animal and contact the local stable, which agreed to take the in for the night. Or in the morning, either way, how you want to get it. We walked a little over a mile with the police escort to the barn. It was determined it was the best if the horse was manageable and our trailer would take 30 minutes to arrive on the scene.
Just walking down the road.
I was able to get in contact with the horse's owner a short time later, and arrangements were made to return the horse home Wednesday morning.
Uh-huh.
So, thank you to Whitney Rear Stable for your quick response and open arm, and to Stephanie Alexander for directing the police to us. And TSP, the Connecticut Police Department, I guess, for caring for a four-legged friend when they need help. Thank you. Facebook post.
Gotta love the book of faces.
Oh, man. It's crazy. I know it sounds bad, but I avoid it the best I can. I mean, I've got, you know, we've got a lot of stuff on social media, but we've got folks that handle that. You know, to keep up with that stuff for us. So,
I think it's time for me to do my shout-out.
What? What are you shouting out now?
I got to give a shout-out to a special someone watching the show.
To your wife?
Cherokee.
Yeah.
All right. I want your real name.
Oh. Does it have anything to do with a Jeep, by the way? Nothing to do with a Jeep at all.
No.
Jeep Wrangler, by the way.
And now on the main stage is Cherokee.
Riding
a dancing horse.
Hope I never hear that.
Let's go to speaking of dancing horse, let's go to H-Town right here.
Oh, to Houston.
Let's go to Houston. We are going to show you some stuff right here. We were we had Simply photography, Megan, that shoots for the show, was down in Houston at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Captured a little bit of rodeo action for you. The semifinals that had happened, so they got some folks advancing because each night's kind of an advancement here. There's Trevor and Wyatt right there catching some. Well, they picked up the check. You can go on Facebook and check all these out and the stats and information along with the photographs. Let's go tie down roping. You had some guys advance. You had Cody Quani advance, Marcos Costa. A lot of folks remember Marcos Costa from many years ago when he first came to America. We had him on the show, I guess, for the first American. We were talking to him, and that was right when he was first learning English. So that was an interesting conversation, but it was still a good one, though. Then they got Tyler Milligan and Reese Reamer. If that name sounds familiar, it does. Bareback riding, you got Bill Tudor, Tanner Ice, Clayton Bigelow, and Kelly Timberman. Nice to see Kelly making it back after his surgeries.
Yeah, he's doing good, too.
All right, team ropers, who we got? Garrett Rogers. And team roping, you got Garrett Rogers and Russell Cardoza, Clay Smith and Paul Eves, Jake Orman and Will Woodfin, Marcus Throt and Cody Dosher, right there, team roper. Saddle bronc riding time, Coben Bradshaw, Spencer Wright, Heath DeMoss, Cody Wright. Right there is your saddle bronc riders. Steer wrestlers, you got Curtis Cassidy, Sterling Lambert, J.D. Strusnick, and Tyler Pearson. And then turn and burn action right there. Barrel racing. You got Nelly Miller, Carly Richardson, Camaro Wright, and Amber Moore. And then your bull riders, you got Trevor Zist, J.W. Harris, TB3, Trey Benton, and Aaron Pass, who apparently is a scared of ostrich, by the way.
He rides bulls. How are you scared of an ostrich?
He is terrified of ostrich. So, if anybody wants to know that.
Would he eat them if it was on a burger?
I have eaten ostrich burgers before.
I love them. They're good.
Really good. It's really good. It's tasty, tasty.
Maybe they'll come back. Lost some money in the 90s on them.
Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people. A lot of folks had problems with that back in the 90s. Speaking of that, I've got something, if I can find it. What is going on here? I'm trying to find something. Find something for the people, and it's not coming up.
That's just not right.
No. I don't know what happened. Maybe we don't. We had some interviews with Heath DeMoss. Oh, there they are, and Sissy Wynn from Rodeo Houston. We just got a little tidbits here I can let the people check out.
Let's let them see. It's
probably how many years have you been coming to Rodeo Houston?
About 15 years.
15 years? Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything different that you
hear it? It would help. Let's see if we can hear it now.
How many years have you been coming to Rodeo Houston?
About 15 years.
15 years? Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything different that you do to prepare for this rodeo comparison to any just weekend rodeo on the road, or is there, you know, something different that you do?
Yeah, this one is so dead gum big, and they got so much hospitality and everything around here. It's easier to bring my family, so everybody comes to this one.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure y'all appreciate that.
Oh yeah.
So, is there anything that you absolutely need, or any necessary items that you have to have to just get down the road?
Yeah, I have to have a lot of tape.
Tape?
The older that I get, yeah. I have to have a lot of tape. I've had two ACL surgeries and an MCL tear and bone growing in my leg at the same time. So, yeah, it takes a lot of tape.
Yeah, you've taken a lot of beating, and you have to keep up with it and take care of yourself.
That's right.
All righty. Well, are there any sponsors or anybody in particular that you'd like to give a shout out to?
I would like to thank all these
sponsors
who helped me out so dead good much. Without them, it would not be possible at
awesome.
All.
At all. And that's what it's all about right there. So he's doing good down there, making it. That's what it's all about.
Got to make that eight.
That's it. That's all you got to do, 8 seconds. Eight ain't that long.
Until you get on one.
Yeah, it's 8 seconds. What are you doing over there? You counting to 10 or what? What happened? Oh, you count to 8? All right.
He can't make 10.
I almost said it, but I ain't going to say it.
I was shocked you could even get to 8.
Wow.
I've never been at 10.
Short ride.
That's what she said.
Whoa, look out. Speaking of what she said, let's see what Sissy Wynn said at Rodeo Houston, barrel racing. Texas Aggie, by the way. Let's see what she's got going on.
And this is your first year at Rodeo Houston, correct?
Yes, this is my first year at Rodeo Houston. I'm so excited. I qualified at San Angelo and that they had me come here. And it's just such a blessing. The hospitality. I mean, they don't treat anybody here like they do at Rodeo Houston. So I'm just so excited to run here.
Oh, so glad to hear you enjoyed your time. So is there anything that you did differently to prepare for this rodeo than any other weekend rodeo?
I definitely try to prepare for this rodeo, unlike some of the other rodeos, because the barrels are a lot different than some of the other rodeos. But
you had a big old arena to work with. Yeah.
It is definitely big. Me and Flash are finally getting the hang of the third round, and we're going to try to go for the go-around win tonight.
So oh, great. Plan. Awesome. So what's the favorite thing you like to do in your free time outside of rodeo?
Ooh, my favorite thing to do outside would probably be to either go hunting or just enjoy time with my friends.
Awesome, awesome. And I think I heard that you used to shoot pretty well as well. Are you still competing in shooting?
No, I'm not competing in 22 light rifle anymore. I did that with high school rodeo and nationals, but now I'm just doing trap and skeet for fun.
Awesome.
That's what she's doing. So that's what's going on. So we got the rodeo coach for everybody. Let's do some PBR Little Rock. How about that? Who wants this PBR?
Deborah Bosa is 23. Castro is 21. Another young gun, Derek Obalo, just let the shoot. Other direction. Good matchup. Vieira now 2 for 2. Luciano. Becomes the cat loose. There was the changeup.
All right. So what you were just witnessing right there is you seen Derek Cole Barber. That was his round one winning ride right there on bottoms up for 89. Then you seen Fabiano Vieira, his second round riding Fire Rock for 87.5, and then you watch Luciano De Castro winning the championship round with 91.75, three whole quarters on Big Dutch. And then your last little clip, the little buck off you saw, was Yeti's Bull of the Wild, Bull of the Event, Sweet Pros Bruiser, bucking off world champion Jess Lockwood for a bull score of 46.5 right there. That's what's going on.
Could have hung on. That might have been some money.
That's it. Tex got money. What's going on? What you got over there? You asleep? You awake?
I'm awake. I'm just thinking about tonight.
What's going on? Oh, yeah.
What's tonight?
I don't know.
Well, you said it.
He's not going home, apparently.
No, I did not hear that.
Oh, he didn't say that. Mm.
Do we need to find you a divorce attorney sponsor already?
No.
He needs a marriage counselor is what he needs.
Well, all we got that covered.
You got that set up?
All we got it set up. All
right.
Pre-marital counseling.
Oh, pre-marital counseling. Okay.
Oh, y'all got any advice for me for pre-marital counseling? I can take it.
Dr. Phil, I don't know. Look in the phone book. Google it.
Google.
No, we always found somebody. But his advice, I don't know. Can I take his advice? I don't know. May need a checking opinion. Can you get a checking opinion with female counseling?
Why has he already said no? He's like, run.
Look, I'm gonna have to call you back.
That's what happened when you called it.
I heard that before.
Oh man, what else we got going on? We are running up on it. We got some more stuff.
In Colorado, it looks like they really had a run on the munchies. Because they're selling expired cereal that expired back in 97.
Yeah, speaking of that, I've got...
You know what? Cereal don't get older. I got pretty big milk in my refrigerator about a month old.
What?
Yeah, drink that and see how it does.
Checking out these half-price floats.
Oh, look, there are those two.
Yeah, we'll both read it.
Yeah.
Okay. A Colorado father said he bought a bunch of cereal from Walmart this week and ate an entire bowl before discovering it in a pile 21 years ago. What did he get hit? I don't know. You find out.
What are they famous for?
I think for eating here all the time.
Are we good at eating here or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Said that they bought the box of Quaker 100% natural granola cereal from Walmart in Littleton on Monday, and they later sat down to eat some of the breakfast food. Anita Carlisle said she took only a couple of bites before deciding something was off about the taste. But Josiah, being the man that he is, ate the whole bowl.
And that's the difference between a man and a woman. A man finishes the job.
Or he may have had a bowl of something else before he ate it.
Well, no, what it is, a man, it don't matter what she makes or what she cooked, no matter how horrible it looks or how bad it tastes,
the man will always eat it. The man will always eat the
meal. That's marital counseling 101 right there. No matter how bad it tastes, even if the dog won't eat it, he licks his own butt, you better eat it.
Always eat the food.
Always eat it. Always eat it. I'll tell you what, before you read any more, let's just watch this video, see what happens. How about that? You want to see what happens?
I've accidentally eaten expired food. But imagine eating food 21 years past its expiration date.
Well, a Colorado family recently bought a box of cereal, and let's just say they didn't check the expiration before breakfast. Denver 7's Amanda Del Castillo sat down with that family to hear what happened.
In early 1997, President Bill Clinton just started his second term as our U.S. president. A month later, this box of cereal expired. Now, Layla's family just purchased this box yesterday. Layla, where were you back in February 1997?
I was not born yet. I'm only 11.
100% natural. And by the look of this printed Best Buy date, 100% expired.
Looks like February 22nd. 1997?
Sure, the cereal box dates back 20 years. But it was only Monday when the Carlses bought the box from a Littleton Walmart. They sat down for a serving that same day.
I had about two bites, and that was it.
But husband Josiah, well, he ate a full bowl.
I just started eating and thinking, it just tastes funny, it must be okay.
I was like, Josiah, you're going to be really sick.
To really put that into perspective, let's take a look back at what life was like back in 1997.
Hi, I'm Mitch Jelinek.
Our own Mitch Jelinek had only been on Denver airwaves for more than a year. The Spice Girls ruled the world of pop music. The box office hit Titanic was released in 1997. A lot less romantic, South Park.
I'm the one who's gonna be on TV.
The controversial cartoon by Colorado natives premiered on television. Kramer with serial issues of his own.
Ouch.
If any of that made you feel old and uneasy, imagine eating an entire bowl of decades-old cereal.
You just grab this off the shelf and, 21 years old.
In 2018, I'm Amanda Del Castillo, Denver 7.
All right, so we think about going back to, everybody wants to go back to the 90s, but apparently you don't go back to the 90s to eat your cereal. Dude.
Right.
How did that, I'm curious how that made it, how did that get onto the shelf?
I can only speculate. I honestly think since, Colorado legalized marijuana, it's the run on the munchies the kids have up there, and they're running out of cereal, and someone said, oh, look, this box will fit in that hole.
That's it. I got thinking about it too, and I was thinking, well,
phenomenal.
Well, maybe on the shelves, in them old grocery stores, maybe this box like fell back behind it. Somewhere. It was.
Couldn't see the dust on it.
It was way in the back, and they was like, "Oh, I got to pull this up to the front." And
wow. How popular is Quaker natural granola cereal anyway?
Well, it is Colorado. It is a granola state. Yeah. No offense to anybody from Colorado listening. I'll probably get hate mail for y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess these people, they plan to return the box of cereal to Walmart. And well, a Walmart representative will be investigating this matter.
So. Well, they're going to investigate.
So, it was old.
Somebody put some old cereal back on the shelf.
We want to investigate where it come from.
At least the milk wasn't from 1997.
And my milk ain't that old. Well, I do have oatmeal.
Now, don't say that. What are you implying?
Oh, man.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right. We got another. We got another video. We got a couple more videos. We got one here. Blind women. You know anything about blind women, Tex?
I know that's the only one that would date me. I haven't had much luck in a dating environment.
Until you got married.
Until recently.
And she's blind, isn't she?
No, she's not. I don't think you're blind. I don't think she can see very well. Must not.
Well, she lets you go to the house today with your shirt untucked and about three sizes too small.
you don't know that.
Thank God it's a pearl snapper. Pepper'd be losing an eye.
Oh man! So what's going on? What happened to this blind lady? Or is she blind or is she not blind? I don't understand.
Well, it's this blind woman runs 81 miles on the treadmill, breaks a Guinness Book of World Records.
What?
Blind Irish runner broke her second Guinness Book of World Record by running 81.909 miles on a treadmill in a span of 12 hours. First, I got a question. Who in their right mind runs for 12 hours on a treadmill? Granted, I mean, she's blind, can't see where she's going, but still, 12 hours on a treadmill.
She's got one heck of imagination.
12 minutes on it, I'm at the buffet. But the record-keeping organization said Sinead Kane, who previously ran 7 marathons in 7 days to become the first blind female to complete a marathon on each continent, is headed to the record books a second time after she ran 81.09 miles in 12 hours at a treadmill at the Clayton Hotel Gym in Ireland.
All right.
Kane, who was born without irises, leaving her legally blind with only 5% vision, said she wanted to challenge preconceptions about disabilities.
All right.
Which is great. I'm all for that. You know.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's greatness. But 12 hours on a treadmill.
Who does that, huh?
Someone needs to get her some mental help, because 12 hours on a treadmill, just no. But Kane's run bested the previous record for greatest distance run by a female on a treadmill in 12 hours by 1.7. Really, there's another woman that ran on a treadmill for 12 hours.
Wow.
Might be a contest. I probably need a 1 foot mile.
You do. Well, let's see what happened. Let's check this out. We
got video.
We're here this evening to support the extraordinary Sinead Kane. Right behind me at the moment, here in a Dublin hotel, Sinead is taking on a phenomenal challenge. Nearly 12 hours ago, Sinead stepped up on the treadmill here behind me and has decided to take on a world record. Everybody in Allianz is really looking forward to congratulating Sinead on this, her second challenge with Allianz's support.
This challenge was slightly different in that Sinead was going for a record that was held by a person without a disability. We felt that with using the treadmill, where Sinead wasn't relying on a guide or somebody else to help her, this created a level playing field and it allowed her to compete with somebody else. We wouldn't have done it without the help of Allianz, and you know, that's a fact.
New Guinness World Record title!
This evening I broke a Guinness World Record for the furthest distance for a female on a treadmill in 12 hours. Everybody sees the 30 seconds at the finish line, whether you win or lose. They don't see the 10,000 hours of hard work that you put in, and Allianz Ireland took a chance on me, and I'm so grateful.
It's a fantastic result here in Dublin today. Congratulations, Sinead Kane. On behalf of Guinness World Records, you are officially amazing.
That's a lot of running right there.
That's a ton of running. And 12 hours straight.
12 hours. And that's what I didn't dive into the fine print or anything. I'm just curious. You know, 12, is that 12 straight hours?
That's 12 episodes of Cops.
Are you running all
the time? No, that's 24, because Cops is only 30 minutes. 24 episodes of Cops of running.
But, I mean, she's right. You know, she was right when she says, you know, she got the world record, and so everybody sees the last 30 seconds mm-hmm. of getting that record. But you don't see the months and months and months that she had to have trained
to prepare
to
for
be
it.
Able to run
12 hours.
12 hours.
See, I'd have given up at 12 minutes. Wow. I'm just not going to lie. I'd have given up at 12 minutes. I don't even chase a fat girl across the bar for 12 seconds, much less 12 minutes.
No comment.
Come on. You're the only other person I know that's disappointed more fat women than Jenny Craig.
I disappoint a lot of women. You are. I have.
He's a
and a few men down on Oak Lawn, but.
He's a yeah. changed man now. He's a different guy.
He's married now.
It's 2018. He's a different person.
Okay.
Now, she does know y'all are married, right?
She does. You know.
She knows.
Okay. You know.
She signed the paperwork.
All right. I was, you sure? Were you there? Did you verify it, witness it?
I did not. I did not.
Quit talking like that.
Hey, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. So,
what else happened at the stock show?
Which one?
I think it was Houston, wasn't it?
I thought we did that one.
No, where the riders got trapped.
Oh, that was
that San Antonio.
That's San Antonio. That's San Antonio. I got a video for that. I was gonna play it, but you can't see it really well.
Why? It's upside down.
Well, yeah, that. But the reason why I can play the video is because it's funny. Because the guy filming it, he's got his phone up. He's filming. He's like, "Wow, hey, bro, they're upside down, bro, bro, check this out, bro." I'm like, "What is who's?" Who is Enrique filming this? Who's filming this? But yeah, now they got stuck on the Batman roller coaster for about 45 minutes upside down. They said it just stopped. They were going on the ride and it just stopped at Fiesta, Texas.
How did they get down?
Apparently the ride
reset itself?
I guess so.
Or they call fire rescue.
The ride again after about 45 minutes, and the rider was able to return to Charlotte Run.
Oh, I'd have been one mad.
Yeah.
Once I could get my equilibrium feet back.
Whoa, yeah.
I'm sure they let them have a free ticket on the go around.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
This is a true story. It happened to me. I was actually up in Minnesota at their theme park up there outside of Minneapolis, and they had that Superman ride. Well, y'all can all see I'm not a little guy, and they go and put the harness over me. There's no seatbelt on that ride. Well, I kept telling this little kid that had more zits on his face than a pepperoni pizza had pepperonis that the deal wasn't fastened. It was going up and down.
Yeah.
Nope, did not pay any attention. Shoots me up in the air, and this thing comes up to here, and I white knuckled, and I'm still to this day picking parts of that seat out of somewhere it shouldn't have been.
That happens.
But they don't. Sometimes those, when you hire the kids and stuff, they don't always take safety number one.
No, but sometimes it makes you go number two.
Yeah. I felt bad for everybody below me.
Oh, man. I guess we got, before we get out of here, movie news. We got a tennis. You tennis players.
What?
That guy. He's going to be a tennis player.
Yeah, I'm a mean tennis player.
So you're going to be the next, what was the guy from the 80s? McEnroe.
Oh, I get Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. He had a different backhand.
Yeah. McEnroe was truly a mean tennis player.
Well, let's find out how mean he was and check this out. For all you tennis players.
It's the perfect rivalry, the baseline player and the net rusher.
The Swede, who at only 24, could make history by winning his fifth Wimbledon. Can McEnroe pull Borg from his throne, Arthur?
The only thing standing between Borg and that record is you. You and Borg are as different as two people could possibly be.
Is he backstage or something? Is he going to, like, jump out of the cage?
McEnroe is the bigger talent. Playing Borg is like being hit by a sledgehammer.
How does it feel knowing you'll make history if you win your fifth Wimbledon?
I'm just like anybody else. I'm not a machine.
The question, Jerkoff! Answer the question! The ball's on the line! Chuck Slope all over, man!
I'm going to issue you a warning for unsportsmanlike behavior.
What do you have to say about your behavior?
Let's talk about tennis. Does anybody have any tennis questions?
Do you expect anyone to root for you in the final against Borg?
Look, I get that, you got your hero, you know, your gentleman, Borg, and you need a villain.
Shut up!
You don't understand what it takes to play tennis.
Where people are talking more
about
you.
You know, I go out there and I give everything for this game? Everything. Everything in me gets left out on that court, and none of you understand it because none of you do it.
You want to know what Bjorn's doing right now? He's in bed. His room is cold because he wants his pulse below 50 beats a minute. Every year he trains on the same court. He rents the same car. He sleeps in the same room. What is that?
You'll never be remembered as one of the greats. You know why? Because nobody likes you. The only thing people are going to say is...
You cannot be serious!
Positive. That crazy guy that always yelled at the umpire.
The world of tennis has never before seen anything quite like this. Can either man take any more punishment?
So what do you think about that?
I'm ready to go play some tennis.
You ready to go tennis?
It might be a hard-hitting movie.
That's it. sounds like it, don't it?
Sounds old like Johnny Mac.
They're going. There it is right there. It's going down. It is going down, as they say. What else is going down? Is us down the highway. Richard's right there. Check him out on the Book of Faces at, what is it, Second?
Second Chance Performance Horses Rescue Ranch.
Right there.
You can check us out there. Like your page. We've got some specials going on. You can get some good horses really cheap right now that we've rescued and saved. We've got a good featured horse. Well bred, she's 1250, started right. She goes back into Poco Bueno and has Mr. Blackburn on her papers. You want a good rodeo horse? She's bred for it.
There you go, trail ride coming up.
I've got a bucking horse for him.
Well, I'll be on the lookout for two trail riding horses.
Two trail riding horses?
Yeah.
There may be some wagons. You know, in that trail ride we were talking about earlier, there's going to be some wagons out there too, so I imagine some folks that don't. Want to go get on a wagon train, I'm sure the opportunity to be there as well.
Yeah, so. You can take a hay ride or ride in the wagon.
Yeah. But that's it. Yeah, look him up on the internet. He's there on the Book of Faces. Check him out. Look him up. Find you the horse of your dreams right there. Tex is here.
Yeah.
Text Travis on the Facebook.
Yeah.
See what's going on, what he's up to, what he's doing, what he's...
I'll be anywhere. I might be in a wedding chapel near you.
Or a wanted poster... Post office.
Oh, that too.
You never know where he's going to be. You never know. Speaking of fitness, we've got Pepper Stewart Show yoga pants, by the way, in case you need some of those.
Oh, Tex, go put a pair on.
We've got those now.
They probably look good with my Ugg boot, right?
They'll look perfect with the Ugg boots you got.
Forgot about the Ugg boots.
Oh, yeah. He's styling and profiling Ugg boots. But
I think I have a picture on my Facebook of me wearing Ugg boot and foot pants.
Yeah.
And a hoodie. I was a bacon white. No.
He was. He still is. All right, everything else going on with the show, what we're doing, and what is happening, as always, go to peppershort.com. From there, you can link to everything else. News, press releases, rodeo stories, ranching stories, products, stuff we talk about. And while you're there, just buy a T-shirt.